welcome to Cancria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. We're actually going to jump to a quick song, and then I will get Sebastian on the horn, as it were. He is back from the Netherlands, and we're very excited to have him being able to join us live today. So, yeah, this is exciting work. So we're going to be starting off with Kate Renata with the track Bullets. I just need to find the track Bullets. So just give me a quick second here as we pull it up. This week we have some good news, which is exciting to share. We don't always have good news here on Cancria as we look at the world of not very fun news. There is some not so great news happening out in the world as well, but we will get to that in just a few minutes. All right, as I mentioned, this is... Well, that's okay. We're not going to do that. We're going to do Sam Sparrow, Cut Me Loose, because I can't find the song that Sebastian has suggested. I'm not convinced that it exists. So we will see how we go from there. All right. So this is Sam Sparrow with Cut Me Loose, and we will be back just after this.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith. That was a bit of a frenzied start here to a new show of Can Queer. It's been a struggle. I could not find Bullets by Kate Renata to save my life. And then, you know what it was? I was searching the files, not the actual database of music. I was looking in the wrong place. Have you ever done that? And it was a rush, and I couldn't think straight. But back from tiptoeing through the tulips is Sebastian. Sebastian, thank you for returning to Can Queer. Long time co-host, long time no see.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, it's been unintentional chaos. It was one of those good news, bad news moments. You know, bad news, you missed your flight. Good news, you get to spend an extra week with your partner.
Which is always nice.
Under complicated and awkward circumstances. But yeah, better than not spending an extra week.
That is a glowing review of your time.
No, I had a wonderful time. It was just stress. It was very stressful. If I had stayed 3 weeks on purpose, that would have been perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's it. I'd mentioned before that we've been volunteering to do this show for nigh on more than a decade now.
Yes.
There are like 10 and 11-year-olds that exist that are younger than this show.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I mean, not this show in particular. We're episode 313, I think, right now. So what's that, 4 or 5 years of a run on this particular show?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, we have rebranded a couple of times, but the show's been pretty consistent. Has it been consistent throughout? I don't know. Actually, we have changed our production style and our content style a few times. So,
well, I mean,
I don't know.
I think.
Oh, if I'm not overseas, I'm in Montreal, which is actually where I am right now. It's just been one heck of a month for me.
Oh, you put a blanket over your head. I love it. Now we just see the occasional rustling. What I wanted to mention earlier is we talk about LGBTQ news from all over the world. And when we can find it, we talk about Canadian LGBTQ news. I think I must see 500 plus news stories every day from about 50 different news sources. Where I draw our stories from. I just lose the blanket because I'm barely seeing you.
And no one's distracted other than you, Luke.
Well, I'm distracted.
The listening audience can't see the blanket.
No, well, that's true. All right. Well, let's dive into it. I think the first piece of good news and nice news. Am I going to just start off with some like old school music? George Michael is going to be immortalized in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is pretty exciting news.
For his solo work or for Wham?
Both?
Or just him as a person?
I think him as a person.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, and every Christmas we all hear Last Christmas until we bleed in our ears. You know, like there is definitely some, you know, some Wham and some George Michael songs that have been played to the death. But if you were to pick, we're not going to play a George Michael song right now, but if you were to pick a George Michael song, what would you pick? Something freedom. That isn't Freedom. Ooh, nice. Nice. That's a great choice. Let us know what you would pick as a George Michael song. I'm going to see who I would pick. I'm not sure who I would pick.
You'd probably pick either Fast Love or what was that other one he did? It was a club hit. I don't remember. It's
Don't
been
Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I think that's the one I'm going to go with.
Careless Whispers.
I am pretty basic. I would go with Careless Whispers. that's the one that would do me. Now another band that garnered a lot of attention that didn't necessarily go is Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yes.
They split up in 1987. Lead singer is openly gay, you know, has been very open about his living with HIV and so on. I think somebody else in the band is also gay. But they rather... acrimoniously broke up in 1987, and they've not been back since. Mm-hmm. Until this past weekend, and it was a big reunion. Everyone was very excited. Everyone, you know, they drove miles and miles and miles to go see the one-time reunion of Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and the performance has left people a bit nonplussed by this particular event. They didn't play any of their hits. Well, they played one song.
Uh-huh.
Just one song.
Which one was it? Was War or Two Tribes?
No, I mean, they could have gone with like Relax or, you know, with some of that rather
Pleasure,
you know,
Dome, The Power of Love.
It was Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. That was the one that the one and only song that they played in their highly, you know, highly sought after reunion. People were pretty shocked, but the band members spoke to the interview afterwards, and they were all like, "We're in our 60s."
Yeah.
They have to get
Devo
home.
Had a reunion tour like 15 years ago, and a lot of people were disappointed. And they say, like, we're not skinny teenagers who can jump around the stage anymore. Like, this is as good as it gets. We're sorry to put it to you like that. Like, if you want to hear our good stuff, just listen to our old albums.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Devo's pretty grounded, though, which is kind of unexpected to say about Devo of all bands. But yeah, I've seen a few interviews with them. It's really interesting to see. Or Debbie Harry, as she got older, she started saying, like, I can't bop around like I used to do in my Blondie days. Like, live with it, you know?
This is true.
Although you saw Meatloaf and said he didn't care. Oxygen tank strapped to his face and went for it.
He had like EMS on standby. I saw Meatloaf live in Belleville, of all places. Mm-hmm. And it was a small production because it was Belleville, in a small town, Ontario. And you could see him. I was listening to it and I was like, wow, there are far more single instrument solos in these Meatloaf tracks than I recall. And anyone who's heard Meatloaf knows that if you get up to dance to a Meatloaf song, you are committing to between 8 and 15 minutes. You know, like, that is a marathon. You know, no 3.5 minute nonsense for Meatloaf fans. No, it's a full track. Throw in some extra instrument solos, because every now and then he'd like wander off stage and you can see him because it was the middle of the day. It was a bit of a rickety setup, and the EMS was there like pumping oxygen into his face so he could get back on stage. But I think that's where we're at. All of the incredible artists from the 70s, 80s, and you know, some of the older folks that came out in the 90s are, you know, the slow death march of time is not so kind to them. So who knows who we're going to see? My mother went to see Tom Jones recently, and I'm surprised that he's still mobile, let alone, you know, able to give a massive performance. She said he did really well. He's coming to the casino in Niagara Falls. We're not sponsored, but if Tom Jones wants to give me a ticket, I won't say no. Now, I do want to move on to some actual gay news. And there was a study. You know, we love a study here at Can Queer. And this study, it had 501 participants, so it's not huge.
Moderate. It depends on what they're studying. That could be huge. That could be small. It depends.
So the study was consisting exclusively of men that have sex with men and trans women. And what they were looking at, they all had bacterial STI, sexually transmitted infections, in the last 12 months. And they had also reported having condomless sex in that same time period. So 500 people who had condomless sex and whom had, there's too many hads here, an STI in the last 12 months. And what they were testing was the effectiveness of doxycycline or doxyprep, post-exposure prophylactics, I think is what PEP stands for. And essentially, it is a way of preventing bacterial sexually transmitted infections. Okay. And the good news here is in they split the group in half, so half of them got the DoxyPep, and the other half did not get DoxyPep.
They got the placebo, yeah.
They got the placebo, yeah. But of the half that got a placebo, 30% contracted some kind of STI by the end of the year.
Okay.
Now, in the DoxyPep group, 10% contracted an STI.
Okay. That's not so bad.
But that's, you know, a two-thirds drop. But what that means is these are folks who are, you know, we have to be real here. There are people out there who are going to have fun times, who mm-hmm. are not necessarily going to wear protection, although everyone should for many, many, many good reasons. Highly recommend safe, mm-hmm. sane, and sober fun times. But mm-hmm. we know not everyone is. So we have to be aware of the fact that some of these folks who may be on PrEP, pre-exposure prophylactics for HIV, you know, they take their health seriously. But what this means is that the rate of infection for STI, sexually transmitted infections, could very well go down. Because every one person that has it, you know, can then infect a whole bunch more. But if you're dropping the number of people who have STIs by two-thirds, mm-hmm. you know, that's, you know, we've all lived through a pandemic. We know how exponentially infections spread, you know. And I think this is great news. I think this is very exciting. It's, you know, in terms of...
There's only one possible drawback, and that is whenever you get any kind of PEP, you need basically sort of a toxic bomb version of it, because it's after the fact, so you need a very high dose of it. And even moderate doses of... antibacterials of antibiotics, that's the word I'm looking for. They can make some people nauseous, it can be bad on your tummy, it can make some people dizzy. And take the kind of antibiotics you get when you scrape your knee or you have, you know, dental surgery, and multiply by that dose by like 5 to 50. I have no idea what kind of dose they gave people in this group. You might get a few people who find it a bit rough on the tummy. Even a few people who've taken HIV PEP have said that it's a bit rough on the tummy. But, I mean, it's better than getting the clap. You know, it's better than having itchy bits for, you know, 1 to 6 weeks. So there's always a trade-off. And I just hope that they find a way to sort of mitigate that so that people don't try it once and then say never again, and then the whole thing is a wash.
Well, you are right there. They were looking at antibiotic resistance, and they found that for, doxycycline-resistant staph
infection.
Yeah, doxycycline-resistant staph infections was higher with those that had used it. It was 38% to 12%, I think. No, sorry. The gonorrhea, resistant gonorrhea was 38% in those that had taken the PEP, compared to 12% in those who had not. So, you know, you're right. When you're taking these antibacterials, when you do get it, it's a stronger version of it that was able to kind of bust through the antibacterial medication. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's good news, because at the end of the day, we know for a fact that there are people out there who are having unprotected fun times. And being able to take something like this can help mitigate risk. It's all about risk management at this point, I think.
Or, you know, even people who do everything right and then a whoopsie daisy happens.
The whoopsie daisies, absolutely.
I mean, you can't fault people for doing everything right and then, you know, just unexpected events occur. It mm-hmm. can happen. So, I mean, it's.
Well, we are going to be jumping to a few other stories, including TikTok, in just a few minutes. I did end up finding Bullets by Kate Renata. I struggled to find it. But we have it now. And this is Bullets by Kate Renata and Little Dragon. Why did you choose Sam Sparrow? First of all, I love Sam Sparrow. just the whole vibe is just, I mean, I'm going to go home and just play Black and Gold on repeat for the rest of the night. But why did you choose these two?
Well, Keetra Nada, Sam Sparrow, and Frank Ocean are all in the sort of soul hip-hop genre, and you don't get a lot of men doing that. Mm. There's also Tyler, the Creator, but let's say his work is not radio-friendly because he came out halfway through his music career, and the first half of his music career, he had nothing kind to say about gentlemen. Gentleman's Gentleman. He used a few F-bombs in there, and then he came out and all of a sudden his sound changed. Hmm. And then he was very romantic about Gentleman's Gentleman, but a little bit too romantic about Gentleman's Gentleman in a way that may not be radio friendly. So, I mean, there are male soul hip hop sort of down tempo, like that sort of neighborhood of musician, and we don't really feature them very often, so I thought, why not?
That's my fault. I lean heavily into the folk. that's entirely my fault. All right, this is Bullets by Keetra Nada, and we will be back just after this. And welcome back to Cancria, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith. And we also have...
Hi, I'm Sebastian. Yes. I was waiting for you to say that your Luke Smith was name.
It nearly ended up being that. That was almost exactly what I put in there. Yeah, that was... It was... Mm-hmm. The struggle was real for a whole hot second there, but
yeah, you've been using your unnamed language learning app too much, learning sentences that don't make sense.
Oh geez, yes, yeah, yeah. We can't mention me, otherwise a big green bird is going to beat me up.
Yeah, nay, je bent een appel niet was one of the words that I learned, which is no, you are not an apple.
Well, I mean, that can come up very often. It's very, you know, how often are you accused of being an apple? You know, this is important information to know. Yeah, so okay, so TikTok has been in the news recently. And I'm mm-hmm. not sure how I feel about it, because there are a few different stories here that I think show the incredible strength and the incredible concern here. So okay. Apparently, there was a mm-hmm. dashboard that only employees could see for TikTok. And okay. in that dashboard, they could see people, all of the followers or TikTok users that mm-hmm. had been engaging with videos on LGBTQ plus topics.
Right.
The dashboard was visible all over the place, everywhere they had offices, but it was removed in 2022, I think, or 2021, in the US, UK, on Australia, after employees there raised concerns about the fact that they can generate a list of people looking at gay TikToks.
Right.
For very obvious reasons.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the topic is, but generally, yeah, I would say broadly obvious, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And of course, there are security concerns, because we're not just tracking people in, you know, democratic nations with accepting legal systems. You know, TikTok is a global phenomenon. Anyone with a smartphone anywhere in the world can access it. And not everywhere in the world necessarily has a positive relationship with the LGBT community and members thereof. So it is it can be a bit of a security concern. There's also just a privacy concern. Yeah. I've seen a few articles where they had interviewed former employees who said it kind of feels like nobody's business. But the obvious exception to that is this is how they make their money. They track people according to their interests and target ads accordingly. But should that information be as easy to get your hands on as it used to be?
Yeah, I think the concern here is, you know, we've all been subject to targeted ads that follow us around, you know, the internet. If you don't think you've been subject to a targeted ad, just Google flights to Mallorca in August, and then just wait and see how many flight adverts